something famous about ultramodulation. If you don't have the power in the audio, it's not worth the bother. And I will underline that three times. If you don't have the audio power, it's not worth the bother. If you don't have the fucking audio power, it's not worth the bother. So, just read about it. Don't even think about putting it in. The modulators and those things can only make enough audio to modulate about 100%, and that's it. And even they're beginning to fold under at that point. Unless you turbo connect the modulation transformer, you might be able to make 125% or so, as in the case of the Apache. DX100, I've not experimented with yet, but I know that there's some potential there. Now, the thing you have to understand is with the asymmetrical qualities of the human voice, you can only, you know, you'd be filling out the positive peak side of the waveform and running out of headroom in a modulator that'll even do 125% even before you start to spike it on negatives. So you have to take all these things into consideration. But if you had a pair of 811s or something, the 11 or 1200 volts or so hanging out on them, externally modulated a DX100 or something like that, well, then it's worth the bother. It's worth the trouble. I did that with a DX100 that I had a modified Gold King 500 modulator deck tacked onto it. I had the whole thing mounted up in one rack, control circuits all married together. The thing worked perfectly. I used to use that rig a lot on 10 meters, something with a little bit of a bite to the bark. Now I needed big power, I went on with a 41,000 rig. I used to use that DX100 a lot, and I had the three diode ultramodulation circuit in the DX100. You know, that was just tied in line in the space that the modulator used to occupy. I got to do it the good old-fashioned way using TV set horizontal damper diodes, which are perfect for the application. Solid state diodes work better, but their action is more abrupt. More defined. Whereas a hollow state device's characteristics are sort of like a soft, more of a softer conduction kind of thing, that when they go into conduction, yeah, they go into conduction, but not real hard until you get a certain amount of potential difference across the things. Whereas a diode, you know, 0.7 volts, bang, you're dead, you know. I got a little box here that I got to finish up that is hung on to the Ranger. It's got the three diode ultramodulation circuit in it. And it's got its own reference voltage, which is taken from the Ranger's low voltage supply for a dropping resistor. Yeah, I ain't even set the thing up with a big LED that starts to blink and pulsate away when you start getting into it. That lets you know that you are, you've reached a certain headroom limit and you're into it. The Ranger modulator, when properly done up with stock iron, is good for about 125% positive, something like that. And when you're running a low power with a plate voltage cut in half, you do have a lot of audio in terms of horsepower to wave ratio. And it's easy to overmodulate on negatives. So I put the circuit in there, and she goes right down there towards the baseline, but the circuit limits things. So I can really dump on the audio, and then from there, jam it into the linear. But the three diode circuit, you know, there's a number of different variations of it. My estimation is the cleanest way to go. I know Bob likes his Zener diode trick. I'll have to experiment with that. And Steve, WB3HZ, used some type of Zener diode limiting or clipping or something. I'm not exactly sure what he was doing, but it added a noticeable distortion to the signal that I could hear in there, and it was fatiguing, so I told him to take it out, and he's never sounded better. So maybe something wasn't set up right. Well, back to you, Ed, VA3ES from WA1HLR.